Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, charity shops are an important part of fundraising for charitable organisations. I'm joined by two people from Wood Green, one of two charities of the month for us here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Ralph Beavers, who is head of retail, and Daniel Ingram, who is the volunteer and training manager. Hello, welcome to you both.
Good afternoon, Julian.
I'm assuming you don't sell kittens and puppies, do you, in these shops?
No. I mean, we're very traditional in what we sell in terms of a charity shop. So, you know, bric-a-brac, media, books, clothing, furniture, everything you can think of, really.
But it does, Ralph, the retail sector within the charity stores does seem to be ever more sophisticated, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. We've had to become, you know, modern-day retailers now, and I think the standard of the stock, the presentation, the customer service we give is so much different and much more modern than it used to be, and Wood Green is no different.
Yeah. I should start off, I suppose, by explaining your particular role in things.
Yeah, so outside of retail, we actually have 11 shops currently, so 10 charity shops, and we have a large pet and gift shop at our head office at God Manchester.
Right, so that's for people, if they're coming to have a look at some
of
the animals
there.
They might
be rehoming animals, or
they could just make the trip just to have a look at the shop, really, in the run up to Christmas.
We love it when they do that. Yeah. Yes.
So what proportion of revenues do the stores bring in to a charity such as Wood Green?
Overall, it does vary, but probably around sort of 10-15%. But it's something that we're looking to grow over a period of time, because we're looking to actually expand and open more shops.
And those 10 or 11 stores, those are spread around us, are they?
They are. So at the moment we're obviously in Cambridgeshire, which is where we're based, but we're also in Lincolnshire, in Northamptonshire, and we're looking further afield as far as Oxfordshire, which is where our next shop will be in Banbury, which we're opening in January.
So you have like a plan, I guess, like any retailer would, in terms of like where you're going to go next, which store is, I'd say, due for a refit, but you know, I guess there are the same as any other retail environment. You're working through these same issues.
Absolutely. We have a 5-year plan. We're looking to open around 33 shops over the next 5 years. So, 4 to 5 shops a year.
Mm. There's quite a bit of competition, though, isn't there, amongst the stores, insofar as you can go, and sometimes it's a criticism, arguably it's an advantage, if you see a few charity shops next to each other. It's enticing people in beyond what their favourite charity and what their favourite cause might be. How do you do that?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the demand is out there, obviously. But, you know, Wood Green, we have a unique offering, and obviously we want to attract people into our shops to help raise the funds, which is so important to fund the work that we do. We compete with each other, obviously, but it's all fair in love and war, and we also work, you know, together.
Did you look for, I don't know, I'm trying to think, do you look for sort of something which is more animal-focused in any way?
Absolutely. In terms of looking at the demographic and the particular areas, yes, that in terms of what's there in terms of pet support and welfare is quite important, so animal-loving areas, if you like. So we will look at that sort of data which we get in terms of strategically opening.
That will be how you decide as to where a particular store goes, other conditions, of course, being equal.
Absolutely, as well as, obviously, the retail propensity. So, obviously, we do need some custom, because ultimately, you know, we've got a couple of roles to play. Main roles is about raising income, but also to increase the, you know, customer awareness of pet support.
Mm. And I'm just wondering, do the shops serve another purpose, as well as being the place to raise funds for you, because people are going to be familiar with the Wood Green brand, which it is, and they're going to be thinking to themselves, oh dear, my dog's been scratching a bit too much recently, or whatever the issue might be. They then go in to the store and say, can you help me out here, please?
They may do, and we would obviously point them in the right direction, whether it's towards our website or a specific number to ring or anything like that. And increasingly, we want to actually be a better proposition for our customers, and we're looking at things, being able to give better support and advice through our shops, and actually have a designated area in our shops to do that, which is a fairly unique proposition and something we were introducing into our shops over the next few years.
That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because you see pet stores who, when you go towards the back, they might have a vet, so it makes entire sense that an animal charity giving the support that you give actually have somebody on hand within their stores.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're really excited about that prospect.
When might that pop up?
Well, it's going to start with our Banbury shop, which we're opening in the middle of January.
So Oxford gets it before Cape? That's not fair.
Yeah, sorry about that. But, Cambridge is really, really high on our list, so we're hoping that will be the one after.
Do hope so. Now Daniel, you're a volunteer and training manager. What makes a good volunteer?
I think it's passion. We know that people are very passionate about pets, pet welfare, and that really is, makes a huge difference when people come. And we've got people who are going to be volunteering over Christmas. It's their passion and motivation that means that they can make a difference to the pets, but also the people who perhaps come into our shop, as Ralph described. It's not just pets we help, it's the people who have them. If they've got a problem, then maybe the first point of contact is a volunteer who can share, their own experience of Wood Green.
So are you looking for somebody, I don't know, does the enthusiasm count more than retail experience?
Yeah, many of the people who come to volunteer in our shops haven't actually had experience in retail, let alone experience of work. We've got many people sort of 16, 17. It's their first time to get a chance of an experience where if you go and apply for a job, the first thing they say is, you haven't got an experience, but they've never had the chance.
So that it can act, I suppose, as a training ground for getting into into retail or any sort of customer facing job, really.
You're spot on, yeah. Retail, customer service. We even support people who wish to take on an NVQ. If they're
I've got one of those. I've got an NVQ to show that I can speak Dutch badly.
Oh, there you go. I was expecting you to get the certificate out just then. You sounded very proud.
I'm very proud of it, yeah.
Yeah, if they're over 19, out of work and receiving an income-related benefit, they can get access to a free NVQ. So it's something that...
I'm trying to remember how NVQs is. It's a couple of years since I got this. Now, is it the idea you kind of almost like you have to collect a set, don't you, and various things?
Well,
there's
all sorts. The ones we've got is customer service, retail, team leading. There's all sorts of ways people can further their knowledge.
So that's interesting itself. You do have something of a hierarchy, so people could... If you almost progress within their volunteering.
Yeah, I mean, young people who wish to progress, sometimes we have people who've got great experience within retail or elsewhere who come perhaps of working age. They may be mothers, they may be caring for somebody, or it might be they've retired as well, and they just are passionate about what we do, and they can share that experience.
That's an interesting, because you do sometimes in charity shops, you do get people, if like both ends of the age spectrum, don't you? Get the young, and then you get the more senior worker,
yes,
who, as you say, have a lot of experience to pass back. Maybe have worked in retail a few years previously,
or
want to keep their hand in, or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. They don't have to have that experience. We just know that they've got something to offer to us with their time and their enthusiasm and motivation, as we've said. But we've got something really to offer them as well, whether it be the MVQs. Quite often people come to us, it's a really nice social opportunity. People often haven't had that chance. They may have moved to a new area, or they may just be, as I say, retired or out of work. It means that they get to be part of a team. I mean, a lot of our volunteers will say how much of a difference it makes. And talking about MVQs, I mean, one of the key things actually, apart from that, is confidence. People who come to us who are just looking for that start again, who may have need that fresh start, and that's what we can offer them.
And for things like training the skills that maybe they don't have, Ralph, does somebody on your team, or maybe probably your team, Dan, who could go along and help them out?
No, absolutely. I mean, we have a whole range of offerings, and we can improve people's skill sets in so many areas, from customer service to basic retail skills. Introduce them to new people, just as you say, just to give them that confidence. Merchandising, visual merchandising. There's a whole plethora of things.
The point of sale material, that kind of thing,
and
learning where to put the things in the shop to catch people's eyes.
Absolutely, and it can go a long way to giving that person that confidence to go and do something else. And when people move on to paid work, there's nothing more pleasing than that. And we sort of tailor people's training to be able to do that.
And then there's the donations. And by this, I'm talking about when you're having a bit of a clear out, yes, and you think, oh, this is actually quite good, I don't need it anymore, and bring it into the store. A couple of things which kind of spring to mind from that. First of which, what do you do if there's something which just doesn't work in the store? store? Do you sort of quietly take it and think, oh, that might work for the you know, for this other store we know down the road?
No, absolutely. I mean, listen, the onus for us is to get the best value for the customer or the donator as we can, and that might mean it ending up in a different location. Although the one thing I can't emphasise enough is that everything has a value, and we will take just about anything because we can sell it or move it on somewhere.
Yeah, but you don't want to be a junk store, though, do you? At the same time,
we don't. But also, you know, everything does have some sort of value, however nominal, and that's where we're very pleased to take everything that we can from curtains to clothing to bric-a-brac to cutlery, crockery, whatever you've got, we will take it. We're very, very pleased to accept all donations from wherever it's come from.
And then from the buying perspective, there's the gift aid thing as well, which you see it on forms when you're making a charity donation, you're ticking the box, but that also works in the store, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So in simple terms, I'm sure most of your listeners will know how it works, but we get another 25% from the government on top of what we've sold an item for.
It's basically, claiming back tax,
anyone who's a taxpayer, it doesn't matter what any form of tax that you're paying, it makes you eligible. So in simple terms, if you sell something for £4, we'll get another pound from the government, which means we've got around £5 for it, which is fantastic. So it's a very important source of revenue for us.
Well, it feels that the government need every penny they can keep at the moment. But listen, everybody, Wood Green need it even more. So that's what you need to do. Do people also come into the store and make just a donation because, particularly in the run-up to Christmas, and they're thinking to themselves, this is a good organisation, I'll give them some money.
I mean, it's a time of giving. So, yes, we're obviously very pleased to get donations in whatever forms, whether it's cash, whether it's stock, or if they want to sign up for a year's full of direct debit, then that's great as well. So, we have to raise funds. I mean, you probably heard the statistic. We know our work. It costs a lot of money. Just to run our centre on Christmas Eve is going to cost £18,000. So it's really important.
Are you under pressure at Christmas? The typical story of new puppy comes in, dog goes out the back door. Does that really happen still?
It is a busy time of the year for us. Absolutely, yes.
I hope it's not too busy, and I know those animals which are with you will be looked after very, very well indeed. Not just at Christmas, but the whole year round. Obvious thing to end an interview like this with is contact details. If people need to either access your services or, better still, send some money in your direction in the run up to the Christmas period, what does everybody have to do?
Yeah, so if they go online, www.woodgreen.org.uk/urgent, which is great, but also listeners can make a phone call as well. The number is 0300 303 9876.
Okay, well, Ralph and Daniel, thank you both very much. Ralph is head of retail, Daniel is the volunteer and training manager at Wood Green. Are you guys doing any more before we finish up for Christmas as charity of the month? Are you dispatching somebody else here?
Yeah, I suspect so. I think you'll get, no,
I don't,
get
you
one
don't,
more.
They need the full list, but everybody else can listen out for that. But Ralph, Daniel, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you, Julian. Cheers.